truth-telling means and support for helping Indigenous communities. Hello, I'm Adam Evans with the NIRS News. Melbourne's oldest university is investigating its long, complex and troubled history with First Nations people. Doombak Gunguana means truth-telling in Woiwurrung language and is the name of a two-volume series from the University of Melbourne. Professor Marcia Langton AO edited the writings of 70 contributors alongside Ross L. Jones and James Waghorn for the series.
And it details through the writings and research of 70 contributors how the University of Melbourne developed on stolen land and how the Wurundjeri were displaced and indeed Indigenous knowledge systems, not just the entire society, were displaced by especially the building of the Parkville campus, and there's a lot of detail about that. There are several parts. So the first part is about place, but then the book goes into topics such as the eugenics science, the collection by scientists of ancestral human remains and elimination of Indigenous knowledge from the record. And indeed, we'd call it plagiarisation now of Indigenous knowledge, literally publishing the work of Indigenous people as their own work.
Reconciliation Australia's CEO Karen Mundine says she's pleased a report has found people want the federal government to provide more help to Indigenous Australians. The Ipsos Indigenous Issues Survey found 31% of respondents want more government support for First Nations people, compared to 17% who say it should be doing less. Ms Mundine says the figures are reflective of a drop in racist comments in the community.
It's pleasing to know that more people believe that government should be doing more than don't think they should be doing more. So that's a positive to take from this. You know, I think there's a stability around some of the data when we look at slurs. It's really heartening to see that actually when it comes to workplaces, we've actually seen a reduction there.
Researchers say more needs to be done to address vaping rates after finding the activity is a gateway to other risky health behaviours. National Radio News' Laura Devoy reports.
A study by the Australian Institute of Family Studies found vaping rates among Australian men more than tripled from 4% in 2020-21 to 13% in 2022. A nationwide study of men and boys found a third of those aged between 18 and 24 and 1 in 8 overall vape. Senior Research Officer Dr. Constantine Gasser says while vapes were initially introduced to help people stop smoking, they are becoming a public health issue in their own right.
Men who vape are around 33% more likely to later use illicit drugs and 59% more likely to smoke at a later stage.
Dr. Gasser says the findings support government efforts to tackle the vaping crisis.
We'll have more coming up next.
When someone was sharing intimate images without my permission and threatening me online, I didn't know what to do. One of my aunties told me about the online safety laws and helped me report the abuse to esafety.gov.au. The laws help to keep people safe from severe online abuse and help to remove dangerous online content. Go to esafety.gov.au to learn more or to report online abuse. Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
To sport, and round 12 of the AFL is wrapped up. Yesterday, Fremantle absolutely flogged the Demons 141-49 and Gold Coast broke Essendon's 7-game win streak with 91-80. On Saturday, Hawthorn beat Adelaide, St Kilda beat West Coast and Richmond fell to Geelong. Meanwhile, the Matildas are eyeing off a win against China to give retiring goalkeeper Lydia Williams a perfect send-off as she brings close to a 19-year-old international career. Williams, Australian football's longest-serving player, will feature in a final match on home soil when the Matildas take on China at Acor Stadium today. After a 1-1 draw with China in the first of their 2-game series on Friday in Adelaide, the Matildas will be going full throttle to give Williams a stirring farewell as they prepare for the Olympics. To stay up to date with the NIRS news, follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, or visit our website at nirs.org.au.
Not sure who to turn to for legal advice?
Want someone who knows what you and your mob need?
And need to find someone you can trust?
call Marawa Law.
They are the nation's leading independent Indigenous legal firm and the legal advisor of choice for government, business and traditional owner groups in the commercial and Indigenous law sector.
They are 100% Indigenous owned and help their clients with the right advice in native title, joint ventures, leasing, property and lots more.
Visit marawalaw.com.au or call today on 07 404 13088. Choose a law firm that understands you.
Marawa Law. Station sponsor.
Little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow.
You know, the flu can be passed around as easily as a footy can. But unlike a footy, when the flu's passed around, it can make some of us mob very sick and be really dangerous for everyone in our communities. That's why it's good for all us mob to get protected with a free flu vaccination. Talk to your health worker about getting vaccinated today or visit health.gov.au/flu. And let's give flu the boot. Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
Station sponsor.
Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn up strong, you mob too, deadly. Acknowledge the traditional owners of the land here where we broadcast and also acknowledge my mob, Dad's side, 1 year Gunga leader, and my beautiful mother with me in spirit, Dunleola and Erub. And a big shout out to all Pumley Up That Way. And speaking of Pumley Up That Way, we're going to catch over yarn now with Bernard Namok Jr. and talk about a fantastic book, co-author with Thomas Mayo, and the book Our Flag, Our Story, and the Torres Strait Island Flag. And here we are on Marlborough Day, and happy Marlborough Day to you all. A very good morning, Bernard Namok. Good morning, Bala.
How are you?
I'm well, my Bala. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, please.
Yeah, well, my name is Bernard Namok Jr. My mob is from, on Dad's side, St. Paul and Bagu. Mm. And my mom come from the beautiful eastern island of Zenatkes, Yantap, from the beautiful island of Darnley.
Wow. That's my connection there, Bala. It's a big SO. And thank you, Bala, for coming to the program. And happy Madoc, happy Mabo Day for you and Nadoc Randall. Happy Mabo Day, brother.
Yeah, happy Mabo Day to you and your listeners, and also happy Reconciliation Week as well for
exactly.
The listeners through Radio BBM there in Cairns.
Big yes, Obala. Thank you very much. Look, congratulations, Our Flag, Our Story. Now, your beautiful father with us in spirit, Bernard Namok Sr., the creator of the Torres Strait Island Flag. So give us a bit of background and how it all started in that space, please, Bala.
Yeah, back 32 years ago on May 29, the Torres Strait flag was first flown up here on Waibeni, or Thursday Island, and the flag was designed by my late father, Bernard Namok Sr.
Yes.
And, yeah, so the flag has been around for 32 years, and it's been, I guess, you know, one journey for the flag, you know, you know, long journey. But I guess, you know, it's been a blessing to kind of, you know, carry on the legacy since Dad passed away, creating the flag in 92. But sadly, September 15th, 93, Dad passed away. So the family and also myself have been carrying on the legacy and making sure that the flag, uphold the flag, you know, and making sure that the legacy for Dad will be around. And I guess with this book, you know, it was one thing to bless to carry on the legacy
with that, yeah. Beautiful. And when we look at the Aboriginal flag and the controversy that came with it regarding original director and owner of the flag who handed over or sold it and what have you, Is the Torres Strait Island flag, is it that way inclined? Is it there for the people, or is it a business entity as such, Mabala?
The flag is for the people, and always be.
Thank you.
But that's one thing about, you know, the Torres Strait flag is in that sense, you know, it's for the people, and you know, created by Dad. But I guess, you know, the flag have been, you know, like all the families up here, you know, have been celebrating the Flag Day every year, and just people celebrate it with pride and joy.
Yes.
And,
beautiful.
Just for the people, yeah.
Thank you, my brother. Now, big shout out to Thomas Mayo. So him and yourself, co-author the book, Our Flag, Our Story, the Torres Strait Islander Flag. So tell us about the gathering with you and him in regarding creating this deadly book, and become history in itself, and the education and the knowledge of the flag and our story and how it all started. So tell us about that yarn. Yeah. And the book is out now, is that correct?
The book is out. It was released on the eve of the Torres Strait Flag Anniversary.
Okay.
It was released up here on Waibeni at Gaaptutuwi Cultural Centre. But the idea for this book started back in 2022 when I was kind of wrapping up my life. There were Northern Territory working as a radio broadcaster. There were TIBA, and I was approached by Thomas to talk about the idea to write and co-author this book about the Torres Strait flag, and took the idea to Magabala Books. They were Western Australia, in the beautiful town of Broome.
Yes.
And kind of talked to the publishers that were Magabala Books about creating something to have in place for, you know, you mean young, you know, Pikini, where the people grow up with an understanding about one emblem colors and the flag, and also the symbol and the flag. So having something in place for future Pikini was important too. So it's been a long journey, you know, for the book itself.
Yep.
A lot of back and forth, Zoom meetings and phone calls after hours, you know. But
texting.
It's been really good so far, and it's been well received.
Beautiful.
From, you know, organisations and especially kids right across the country, and it's been in classrooms already.
Yes.
And it's been sold out in bookstores around the country. So positive news.
Yes.
And I think, you know, the idea for that was making sure that the flag is the story for this book is being taught in school and classrooms around the country. So pretty positive about that, and getting good feedback from classrooms and young Pikinini as well.
Brother, look, it becomes a powerful vehicle in regarding education, you know. Like you said, our Pikininis and pass the story on, but also to educate the people of the world, if not the Australian government, if not non-Indigenous brothers and sisters. Look, it's a vehicle in that sense, isn't it?
Yeah, and I guess, you know, the legacy that, you know, was continued on, you know, with that documentary that co-produced with Tamarind Tree Pictures, a local film company based there in Darwin. And that documentary idea was also to educate mainstream Australians about, you know, the story of how, what, when, why was important for the, you know, cultural committee to create a flag back in the early 90s, you know, the cultural committee up here on Waibeni, and also to create a documentary to educate mainstream Australia about why the flag was important for us up here. And also did a radio documentary as well as part of Legacy Blood Dad back in 2020 for the National Features documentary series, where I explored about the copyright for the flag after the big controversy surrounding the Aboriginal flag. I was getting phone calls about, you know, the copyright for the Torres Strait flag, and having, you know, limited knowledge about copyright laws around Australia in regards to creating the Torres Strait flag for Dad, yes. I decided to do a radio documentary exploring that. So did that, and also as we thought about the future generations, the kids up here, and also mainstream schools, about creating something to educate all young kids. So the idea for this book kind of came about, and kind of in line with all them legacies, Blood Dad. So pretty blessed to still continue on the legacy of Blood Dad as well. Yeah,
I take my hat off you, my bully. You are standing strong, for your family, and also representing your father. And in a non-selfish way, like I said, the flag is for the people, the Torres Strait Islanders across, and it speaks for you. And it's great to have this book out there. It's a great educational tool. I congratulate you, my brother, you and Thomas Mayo, the work that you're all doing. And I urge everybody out there to purchase the book and have that as part of Australian history and representing the people of the Torres Straits, my brother.
And I think the illustrator of the book, also a local girl from up here, grew up on Thursday Island. Family was, we grew up yon top.
Wow.
So I think working with the illustrator of the book, Tori J. Morty,
yes.
Was one that she captured a lot of, and we draw a lot of things that are really on point too. So. I think Tori J really did an amazing job in illustrating this book, and also working with Thomas Mayo as well. And big thanks to Magabala Books to taking on this project and making sure that this book was ready for Reconciliation Week this year. So pretty happy about that.
Exactly. Time is everything in life, isn't it, Bala?
Everything was in line too. So pretty good about that,
Well, big shout out to the illustrators, as you mentioned, and Thomas Mayo, and yourself, Bernard Namok Jr. I thank you for the yarn, my Bala. Look, stay strong, stay black, stay deadly, and we'll yarn soon, my Bala.
No worries. Thank you for having me, and have a good day.
God bless. Bye bye.
All right, yo.
Yo. Beautiful yarn there. That's Bernard Namok Jr. and his junior, and his father, senior, was the creator of the Torres Strait Islander flag. And the book is out now, Our Flag, Our Story, the Torres Strait Islander flag. And that's co-authored with Thomas Mayo and, of course, Bernard Namok Jr. Fantastic. So check it out, your mob. Get a copy and keep it amongst your library. There it is. All schools should have one as well across this country. There it is. Have you say Yana Strong, National Talk Black. Yana with Bully on here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country, BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service.
Brothers,
RK,
RK Brothers. Hey, Mob, it's Jessica Malvoy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turf, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
Yes, a very good morning, New Delhi Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Yes, very good morning, New Delhi Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, Nationalist Radio Service. And big shout out to the NERS team. To Delhi Mob, now we're going to catch up a yarn now with Delhi brother, Hunter Page Lockhart. He's with the Bangarra Dance Theatre's Wairu is what we're going to talk about, to make a splash in QPAC's Playhouse this June and talk about this fantastic space. We have Hunter on the line. Hunter, good morning, my brother. How are you?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you from, Page.
My name is Hunter Page Lashard, and I'm a Yugambeh and Noonuckle man from southeast Queensland and Stradbroke Island. Mm-hmm. And on my mother's side, I am a Haitian Caribbean Creole boy.
Good,
so
good fruit
salad.
I got
voodoo and the dreaming. I got a good mixture of spirituality up
you
in my
too, Deadly, brother. That's right. Yeah, fruit salad. Got all the blood there,
yeah.
Right? Look, too, Deadly, we're talking about Wairu, to make a splash, QPAC's Playhouse this June. Wairu is created by Bangarra's former artistic director and multi-award-winning choreographer, Stephen Page, who I believe is your father.
Yep.
Thank you. Big shout out to Stephen. And how deadly are you? Connected, blood is strong. Also, with yourself there, ABC TV's Play School, Spear ABT's TV's Clever Man, and Bangarra dancers and choreographers, Sani Townsend and Alma Chris. So tell us about Wairu, first of all, please, brother.
So Wairu is Bangarra's first kind of children's play experience, kind of dance experience, educational experience. I think Dad always, Stephen always wanted to do something like that at Bangarra, and you know, I think because I was doing play school, he kind of came to me and said, "Did you want to write it?" Because I was writing a couple of episodes for play school, and
yes,
he knew I could target children at that point in my career. We got together and with Elmer and Sunny and through going back to kind of, you know, their home country and in the Torres Strait and getting some of their stories and the story of the life cycle of the turtle and kind of just turning that into like a little, you know, 40-minute educational dance piece,
sure,
with a little bit of a story involved that kind of tells everyone about, you know, the environment and the life about a turtle. So yeah, it's
fantastic.
It's fun.
Yes.
It's colourful and there's lots of music and dance and yeah.
Look, brother, we are storytellers, and what I'm picking up coming from your space, using dance as the vehicle to tell the story, but also grab the attention of the young ones, you know, especially our mob, but black and white, and also a vehicle to educate, you know, and also keep our story strong, is what I'm picking up. Is that the case, Hunter?
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, I think, you know, Dad's got a very great eye and great talent at expressing an idea or telling a story through movement. You know, I've been growing and learning myself how to, you know, do the same thing, but with my words and with writing. So I think it was just a great moment to kind of pair the two in order to do exactly that, you know, educate and give something back to the community, white and black. You know, it's for the next generation. It's for the youth.
And with Wairu, how many people are on stage performing?
So we've got two people on stage. We've got Elmer Chris and we've got Kasa on stage, which is a dancer on stage.
Yes.
So it's actually really, really intimate and cute. You know, they one of them plays multiple characters, while Elmer plays a character that, you know, is a caretaker on an island that's caretaking for the life cycle of the turtle and makes sure that the turtle is on their way and continues their cycle and they're safe from, you know, human dangers and you know, natural dangers like predators, etc. So yeah, it's a very, she's kind of our narrator. And then we've got Helen Arnoux and doing voiceovers, and yes, she kind of plays a mother spirit that kind of guides her throughout the show. So yeah, it's all a bit of a mixed media with like a small intimate cast. Yeah, so yeah, it's something for the kids to kind, yes, of focus on rather than, you know, it's too overwhelming.
No, good. And what I'm picking up there is painting the picture. And when you have movement on stage, dances, and then, of course, you've got light and you got music in the background, then you've got a narrator. It just, how you say, it puts more meat on the bone. It makes it solid in regarding the story being told, yes?
That's it. Exactly. Yeah, no, it's truly exciting. We didn't think it would go on for this long, but look out.
Shut up.
It's going on for a while, which is great because, you
today,
know,
QPAC, tomorrow the world.
There you go. Who knows? We might even film it and put it on TV.
There, like, you go. Exactly. You blockbuster, know, so like, movie. Yeah, just, New York, here, yeah, we come.
It's one of those things, you know. It's those things that kind of will stand the test of time and kind of be a little staple in children's learning, I guess.
Yeah, so Wairu to Make a Splash, QPAC's Playhouse, this June, fantastic. So we're talking 26th June, 26th to the 29th, yes? Queensland, yep, Performing Arts Centre, that's fantastic. Now, I will make a statement here, but the statement from Arts Minister Leanne Enoch said the international acclaimed Bungara Dance Theatre continues to inspire audiences with powerful stories of culture and country. So that's a good support and a good statement from Delhi Sister Arts Minister Leanne Enoch.
Hey, that's a deadly one. So yeah, I'm definitely happy with that.
Fantastic, my brother. Look, nice talking with you. Big shout out to Dan. Keep doing what you're doing, my brother. And look, enjoy the journey. And a big shout out to those performances for the Wairu's to Make a Splash, QPAC's Playhouse this June, my brother. You take care, Hunter, Paige, Locker.
Thank you, mate. You too, brother. Have
okay,
a good one.
Well, bye
bye.
Deadly yarn there, beautiful yarn. Hunter Paige Lockhart, the choreographer and the storyteller for Wairu to Make a Splash. And that's in QPAC's Playhouse this June, 26th of June, right through to 29 June for School of Arts, QPAC, Queensland Performing Arts Centre. Fantastic. Bungara Dance Theatre present that, and a fantastic team effort there by Stephen Page and his beautiful son there, Hunter Paige Lockhart, and also choreographers Sonny Townsend and Alma Chris. So represent you, Mob. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarn up strong, and a big shout out to First Nation radio stations all across this country, a beautiful Deadly Black network, and Yarn up strong here on National Talk Black. Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry. Stay tuned, you Mob, too deadly.
Eddie on the track. Messages are red while I'm crying on the floor. I ain't never felt like this before. mama. I can't make this even if I try. You got me so terrified. I'd rather be lonely than have another man to sow me. I hate when I'm uncomfortable. So good love, so vulnerable. When I feel, that's when I know it's real. I barely get it off my chest, cause I know that what comes next is real. When I feel, cause when it feels, I don't know if it is real. When he gets it off his chest, I'm always made to second guess if it's real. When he feels.
Hey, what you doing, your mom? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie. And you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.
Where
life is like, oh, like a river. You only reap what you sow. I hope it's good and what you give her in return for what you grow. Oh, I'm going down.
Oh, I'm going down.
Down the river today.
To the river today.
I'm jumping in the water. People moving just like a river on its way to the sea. Oh, we're sorry all that you give her is nothing but tears and misery. And I'm going down. Life is like, or like a river. You only reap how what you sow. I hope it's good how what you give her. In return for what you grow. I'm going down the river today. I'm jumping in the water. Wash my sins away. I listen to a story from long ago. I'm jumping in the water. Wash my soul in the river's flow. Jumping in the water, wash my soul in that river's flow.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, New Delhi Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns in Yidinji Country as BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we are across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Happy National Reconciliation Week, you mob. Here we are, another week of celebration, a tool for education, bridge builder, all the above. And we're going to catch up a yarn now with Balakini Bedford, who's Cairns-based director, Reconciliation Australia, and got him on the line. Kenny Bedford, my brother, good morning, Bala. How are you?
Well, good morning, Bala. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. And before we start, Bala, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
For sure. My name's Kenny Bedford. I'm from Erib, proud Erib man, of the Mayram tribe. As you say, based in Cairns, my respect to the traditional owners of Cairns. And I'm coming to you today from TI, the land of the Kaurig Nation.
Yes.
Good to be with you. And I want to wish you and all our listeners as well a prosperous and happy National Reconciliation Week.
Yeah, my brother. Here we are. 27 May to 3rd of June is the week, and it's the same every year. And the theme this year, now more than ever. So give us a bit of background regarding National Reconciliation Week. And for those non-Indigenous brothers and sisters, how can they be involved? And what is the platform, so to speak, regarding National Reconciliation Week?
My Bella, National Reconciliation Week is you know, one of two really important weeks in our Indigenous calendar across this country, across our country, the country of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. And it's a time where we can focus and celebrate and, you know, revisit this challenge we have in this country of reconciliation. It's a chance, particularly this year with that theme, now more than ever, saying and reminding ourselves that now more than ever we need to stand up, continue the fight for justice and continue that path to self-determination and for us to be working together on that. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people as well as non-Indigenous Australians, it's important reconciliation happens between our Indigenous peoples and non-Indigenous Australians and this is where we celebrate what we've been able to achieve and reset the pathway, which includes, now more than ever, talking about truth-telling and agreement-making post-referendum.
Yes.
Yeah, and people right around this country can be involved, and we encourage non-Indigenous people in particular to be checking in on how they view and how they understand not only our history, but the importance of reconciliation, you know, within themselves, within their families and their communities, and the role that they can play. And there's a lot of information online, and, you know, it's very hard to avoid this week.
Exactly.
Because celebrations are happening everywhere, and that's happening in so many different ways. And if people aren't sure, they should go to the Reconciliation Australia website, where there are events registered right across this country that they can be a part of, but also not just events, but ways that people can look at reconciliation for the first time or build on the good reconciliation work they've done themselves. And that includes things from, you know, from book lists to movies to opportunities to meet with elders, to talk with community members, to share and come together. That's what we're encouraging this week across the country.
Beautiful, brother. So when you talk about National Reconciliation Week, and for our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters, it's not a vehicle about pointing a finger and about making them feel guilty, is it?
No way. It's about understanding our history, all of our history.
Yes.
That's where that truth-telling component is so important, so that people understand the true and full history of this country, and it's a long time. There's a lot of history before Captain Cook come sailing around this way, and it's about understanding that true history, understanding the impact of colonisation, and understanding that that impact continues today because we have unresolved issues. And
yes.
When we can understand these things and when we can start talking about what really happened, this is part of the healing journey of the country.
Mm.
And the voice through the referendum was only one component of, you know, that very generous Uluru statement from the heart that we still present as a gift to all Australians.
Yes.
We've still got an opportunity here to find ways where we can give Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people a voice and give them opportunities to make decisions about what's happening, you know, in their communities and make come up with the solutions, because we're the best people who know how to deal with the challenges that we face as a result of not dealing with a lot of the past issues that won't go away
until we
do the truth-telling and deal with these matters. So because the referendum failed doesn't mean these issues are going to go away. We're not going nowhere.
Sure, exactly.
This is our place.
Always was. We're going to be always here, will be.
And we're always going to be reminding the visitors to this country that we're not going anywhere. We're strong black people of this country, and we're going to remind people of that history as long as we're here.
Too dearly, my brother. Now, when you look at the success of the 1967 referendum and, of course, the High Court Mabo decision, respectively, that's not too long ago. And when you look at the theme, now more than ever, the work's got to be done. Now more than ever.
That's right. And we've got a lot of positive examples there.
Sure.
Where we have stood up to the nose, to the rejection, to people who told us we're not from here, that we're... Mm-hmm. We weren't here when they arrived. Mm-hmm. We've had to go to high courts. So, again, that's what our theme's all about, being proud, being strong.
Truth-telling.
Yeah, and telling the truth. Yeah. And, you know, we're not sweeping anything under the carpet.
Exactly.
We're strong and we're here and we're getting stronger. So
yes, we're getting stronger.
Let's deal with what needs to be dealt with so that we've got a better country for all Australians.
Not just Aboriginal people.
But for all Australians. Young people want this. We know that.
Yes. Well, you look at the platform, National Reconciliation Week. It's bringing people together, black and white, isn't it?
We've got more reconciliation action plans than ever, over 3,000.
Mm.
You know what? They increased by 40% leading up to the referendum, and that hasn't slowed down. So we've got a lot to learn from the referendum, but it's not the be-all and end-all.
Sure.
We held up the mirror. Mm-hmm. And what it's told us is that we've still got work to do, and that's all of us. So let's think about this week how we can learn more about reconciliation and contribute as all Australians to something that's good for all of us and for the future of all our children.
Too dearly, brother. To our dearly listeners just tuned in, Trinity Trev Murray from Macquarie, National Talk Black, having a dearly yarn with Kenny Bedford, Cairns-based director, Reconciliation Australia. Confirming, brother, how long you've been a director with Reconciliation Australia?
I think at least 10 years now, and I'm really proud of the work that we've been able to do. We've got a fantastic team of people there now, and many that have come before them who have done this work, and... I really want to take this opportunity to pay tribute to them, to our CEO, Karen Mundine, and her leadership.
Yes.
And to the reconciliation groups right around the country, from state down to community level. There are people out there doing the hard work, and we know through the referendum how much support there is for truth-telling and for dealing with these matters. We didn't get the majority, but we certainly saw that there's a growing population there.
Mm-hmm.
But see, this is an important issue that we have to deal with about our history, about truth-telling, about reconciling, you know, the wrongs of the past. And let's think about how we're doing that this week, but also throughout the year.
Beautiful. Fantastic. Great words. Thank you very much for sharing, Kenny Bedford. All the best, my brother. You stay safe, travel safe, and we'll see you back in Cairns next time I'm here, bro.
With respect. Thank you, my brother.
Yawa, bala. A beautiful yarn, deadly yarn there with Kenny Bedford, Cairns-based director, Reconciliation Australia. And here we are this week celebrating National Reconciliation Week. It's the 27th May to 3rd of June. These dates commemorate significant milestones in the reconciliation journey. And look, it's the same every year, 27 May to 3rd June. And the successful of 1967 referendum and the High Court Mabo decision, respectively. As Kenny alluded to, we didn't win the referendum just recently, late last year, but we are still here, always was, always will be. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black. And a big shout out to NERS, National News Radio Service, who puts us through the airways across the country. We're here based at Bama Bipa Media, BBM 98.7 FM, with National Talk Black, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry.
There's nothing I would rather be than to be an Aborigine and watch you take my precious land away. For nothing gives me greater joy than to watch you fill each girl and boy with superficial existential shit. You may think I'm cheeky, but I'd be satisfied to rebuild your convict ships and sail you on the tide. There's nothing I would rather be than to be an Aborigine and dream of just what heaven must be like. Where moth and rust do not corrupt, when I die I know I'm growing up, 'cause you know that I've had my hell on earth.
This is Tanya Kernighan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Oh,
Bye.